This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And he is back from vacation. Tito, good morning, sir.
Thank you very much, Tim Mize. Good morning. How are you, my friend?
Cannot complain one bit.
That's good.
Gorgeous day.
You mentioned Hillsborough Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare. We left the front door open, and Melissa Van Giesen from Hillsborough Hospital has walked right in. Good morning, Melissa.
Good morning.
It's good to have you in studio this morning. We have gotten together over the years and talked a little bit about concussions and how to keep kids safe. And along with the concussions, of course, the dehydration protocol and making sure everybody's hydrated during warm weather and that sort of stuff. We're going to kind of concentrate on concussions today because I think as an athletic trainer that you are, you have a new tool that you can use to help evaluate young people and hopefully make sure everybody is A-OK before they get back into action. First off, let's get a little bit of background. Just, you've been at the hospital for how many years?
I am been there for 9 years now.
Okay.
So,
and you, not only are you an athletic trainer, but you're also the supervisor for the teamwork
rehab. Yes. So. Yep. We are inside of Fusion, but we work with are employees of Hillsborough Area Hospital. So, yes, I've been there for 9 years. I work in the department, helping treat patients that get hurt, but one of my biggest jobs is working as an athletic trainer at Hillsborough High School, and then we reach out to Nokomis High School as well, providing athletic training services to them.
And of course, concussions have been in the news a lot lately. Also, the General Assembly, the state of Illinois, along with the Illinois High School Association, and now the Illinois Elementary School Association, has stepped up the protocols for dealing with concussions. And that's all changed as far as what they look for. Even Major League Baseball now has a 7-day concussion list, concussion disabled list for like catchers who might have been involved in a collision or anybody that might have a slight concussion. They're going to put them aside for 7 days and keep an eye on them. So,
yes.
So we're getting a lot smarter. First off, I guess, let's define what a concussion is. And I think that explanation is probably expanded or has been more clearly defined here in recent years.
Yes, concussion is basically a traumatic brain injury. And it's hard for people to believe that because of the old school ways of saying, I just got my bell rung, which is totally a concussion, is basically what that is. So it's anything that's caused by a direct blow to your head, your face, your neck. Sometimes it can be even not from those things. It can be an impulsive force, such as like if a football player falls on the ground or a soccer player falls on the ground, their head doesn't hit the ground, but their shoulder does and their head gets kind of whiplash such. That can be a cause because their brain's being shook around in their head. And it's usually just a short-lived impairment of like their neurocognitive functions, but a lot of times if it's not taken care of correctly when they have these problems, then it results in long-term issues. So that's why it's so important to take care of it in the beginning and know what it exactly is.
So let's talk a little bit about the brain and why it's susceptible to concussions. It's kind of a semi-fluid thing, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Your brain is obviously attached to your spinal cord, but it is a big giant muscle inside of your head. And it obviously helps function your entire body. But it's a big, there's your brain, then there's fluid, then your skull. So all of those things are related together. And if something gets jostled around in there, it's going to cause problems to your brain.
Well, if you know anything about Newton's laws of physics, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. So if you get hit and get jolted, you know, there's a good possibility that the brain would get squeezed a little bit or somehow put out of position and then rebound back into position. And that could end up causing some problems.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And a lot of times people just think that the headache is related to a concussion. I've had many athletes that don't always have a concussion, but they have other symptoms. So, generally, and sometimes a very more dramatized type injury where they lose consciousness, they could not have any of those other symptoms and they sometimes recover quickly. So it just depends on obviously every single person's different, but you could have that loss of consciousness. You could have amnesia. You have your headache. You could just have pressure in your head, which doesn't feel like a headache, but it just doesn't feel quite right. You could have blurred vision. You're dizzy. You're sensitive to light and noise. So there's lots of things that affect the way that your entire body is that's going to make your concussion be even different or worse or those kind of things.
Is it possible to, quote, get the wind knocked out of you and not suffer a concussion?
Yes. Yes. There's lots of different things that could incorporate with those situations that may not affect a concussion, but it's just depending upon your symptoms and the way that you're reacting to different things in life and that is affecting from that concussion or even just that situation.
And being an athletic trainer, the amount of information that has probably come your way here in recent years has been, you know, like a mountain, about as high as a mountain, because the information just continues to flow and they're trying to give some direction for athletic trainers, for doctors, for coaches, for players on what to look for. And I think one neat thing, that the hospital has is a new tool that will help diagnose and help out the young athletes. But first off, I guess we ought to mention that Hillsbury Hospital will be providing care at the games for Hillsborough and Nokomis, correct?
Yes. That's something we've done for many years now, where we provide athletic training services, which an athletic trainer is someone that is certified, licensed. We're healthcare professionals that we specialize in athlete care, where we do prevention, assessments, treatment, and even rehab of their injury or their illness. And we have a bachelor's degree. Many of us have master's degree, which I do, from Illinois State University. So, but we focus on treating athletes, and we are educated very thoroughly at our levels to learn about concussions. And then now with all of these different things, we have, we're learning different, more things to be more conscious of and using this new tool that we're going to be doing.
Listen, I'm curious, from the time you started being an athletic trainer on the sidelines for football games on Friday night, has the mentality of the high school athlete changed at all as we've become more aware of concussions? Like, I mean, back in the day you mentioned kind of rub it off, just got your bell rung. Do you see less and less high school kids with that mentality and maybe more appreciating the severity of what maybe just occurred?
Yes, and it's not just trickling from the athlete themselves. Like, everyone as a whole, coaches, parents, administrators, they're all more aware of it because not only are the laws forcing them, but it's just getting out there more education. So, and that's the thing that's so important to teach people is that just because you get your bell rung, if you take care of it correctly, you can return to play better and you're going to be better in the end. You're not going to have those continuous symptoms that are lingering on throughout the season where you have a constant headache or you're just not feeling right the entire time. If you take care of it in the beginning and you do the proper things, it's just going to help you later. So that's why it's so important.
And I remember a game last fall at Hillsborough, a young man for the Toppers. I don't remember his name, but I guess he has sustained a concussion, and I remember distinctly watching his football helmet get taken away from him. And at first, he was kind of not happy about it, but I think as time passed, he kind of just accepted that, okay, I'm not coming back in this game.
Yes, and unfortunately, that's a situation that I have to do a lot because kids are competitors. They want to go out and play, and it's just a headache, or I just don't feel right, and it's not a big deal. But it is a big deal because it's truly your brain, and what could happen is you could get another concussion, which could lead to death. It's called second impact syndrome. So, and that's something we want to obviously avoid, and just I try very hard, and we try to educate in the very beginning to make them understand that this is really a big deal, and they learn, yeah, I have to give up, and it's okay, but hopefully by next week I'll be back in the game. And a lot of times that does work. They're okay, and they have to take it easy throughout the week to practice and such, but by Friday night they're okay to play. If they don't pay attention and they don't do the right things, then they have to be out for 2 weeks. So,
as the season gets closer, coaches will be talking about this, obviously. But do you have a chance to meet with teams who are practicing and doing the workouts and actually explain to them what this is all about?
Yes. That's the biggest part of my job, is the education side of it. I can't just come in and say, we have this new tool and this is what we're going to do. But I've already began. I've been going around to the local physicians because obviously that's the most important start of the top of the tier. So I have been to most of our local physicians in Litchfield, Nokomis. Here next week I will be going to Springfield Clinic doctors to educate them about our new tool, because they're aware of concussions, but a lot of them don't even know what this tool is that I'm using, and it's helpful for not just me, but for them. So we'll be able to see the different things that is affected by these kids. But then I am also educating. I will be going to I've been doing this for a couple years now, all the parent meetings, so they all know who I am. I'm there for them. I am free for them. I'm a free service to them that the hospital provides to our community. So, and I'm very confident in giving a good service. I do a good job with that. So, and then obviously I go to each team, and just have a little quick meeting with all of them and let them know that I'm here for them as well.
Do you have a trouble sometimes convincing parents and maybe other coaches from time to time that really this has been around for a long time and the people who we used to think really didn't have a concussion probably had a concussion?
Yes, yes. They're still sometimes struggling, but anymore there's so much more education out there, and it's just talked about so much more. So it's not as challenging, and I'm getting less pressure from the parents to where they know that, yeah, I want to take care of my kid, and I can tell he's not acting different, because a lot of times people don't understand what the symptoms are, and as soon as I tell them this is one of those symptoms, then it's easier for them to understand and pay attention that they can tell that their kid's not right.
We're talking with Melissa Van Giesen from Hillsborough Area Hospital, athletic trainer, and there's a tool that she's going to be using this year to help diagnose diagnose concussions and athletes, and we're going to talk more about that, but we need to get to a break first, take care of radar weather, and we'll come back with Sports Saturday right after this.
Back we go with Terry Tope and Melissa Van Giesen.
Thank you very much, Tim Mize, as we hope the Redbirds will figure out a way to win at home. Man, it has been tough for the Cardinals.
They now have more losses at home this year than all of last season.
How about that? That's crazy. That's just plumb crazy.
And they've kind of almost make you bang your head into a wall this year, which can give you a concussion.
Yeah. It could. Oh. Yeah, it could make you want to do that. Yeah, yeah. And speaking of concussions, this is what our topic of discussion is this morning with Melissa Van Giesen, who is the athletic trainer, works out of Hillsborough Area Hospital, and is also the supervisor of Teamwork Rehab, which does, by the way, a great job.
Thank you.
I've personally experienced that, so I can brag on you guys and say, hey, I'm doing a great job.
Thank you.
You've got a new tool to help you with identifying concussions, getting kids back to where they need to be. And this is something that is not going to be at the ball games themselves, correct?
Correct.
This is something that will take place a couple days afterwards. So you kind of set us up with this impact information here.
Okay. Impact is a tool, yes, that I will be using as a part of my assessment when a kid gets a concussion, an athlete gets a concussion. Basically, what will happen is that Impact is just a computerized test that takes about 25 minutes to complete. It's recommended to be administered by myself I'm now an Impact trained athletic trainer. With this Impact tool, you have to be certified with them either as an athletic trainer or as a physician. And then they'll get a baseline test that will happen every 2 years. So we're actually going to be doing this test with the junior highs and the high schools, both at Nokomis and Hillsborough High School. And say they take their test in 7th grade, they'll take their baseline test again in 9th grade, 11th grade. So we'll have it throughout their whole athlete career. And then if a concussion is suspected, we'll take that baseline report and compare it to another test that they will take individualized. So with their baseline, we can take the test with a group up to 15 of kids at a time. And it will happen at each computer lab at each school. And the kids will be in it's a very important time to take the test, because we don't want them to think that, it's kind of a joking session, because there's a lot of different challenging type things to where it almost looks like a game a little bit, but it needs to be taken very seriously, because the baseline test is the beginning tool that in the end is going to help them get, if they do well in the beginning, if they have a concussion, if their results are comparable, obviously it's going to help us in the end to make it better, so, and know what the correct thing is. But Impact basically measures a player's symptoms, because there's 6 different sections of an Impact test, and they will give their symptoms in at the beginning, and then it will measure their verbal and visual memory, processing speed and reaction time. It will assist us in making a difficult return to play decision, obviously based on these things. But they'll do different things within each section. The first section that they're actually testing, other than giving their symptoms, they're differentiating between word discrimination, design memory, X's and O's. They'll be doing symbol matching, color matching, and then three-letter memory. So it kind of gets inside of the neurocognitive part of your brain, the working part of your brain, just to see how it can respond to different things. And they will take that baseline test post or after.
Now, is this all a timed response when after, say, you suspect a concussion? Is this all a timed response to these tests? Or is it just something that they can take their time at? And
absolutely. There is no time based on it. The 25 minutes in the beginning is just about how long it should take them. Okay. When they're in that group setting, it's going to be important that they each kid, if someone finishes in 20 minutes, they must wait till the 25 because we want little distractions and those kind of things. And I will educate the kids about it and make them understand how important it is. But then when they take their post-individualized test, it will be them and I in a room. If they don't want me in the room, I'll stand outside the door. But and they will do it on their own, and they can take as long as they need to. It's not, you have to hurry up and do this. So, yeah, it's...
Melissa, is this something that is for kids who are going to be getting into football only, or is this, say, something that female athletes that maybe wanted to play soccer would have to do as well?
Yes. We are very fortunate that we received a grant from the Illinois Critical Access Hospital Association to help us fund this in the beginning. Hillsborough Hospital, we'd be planning to continue it with the schools after this year, but for right now, it helped me get my training, fund my training, and then it's helping us be able to supply a larger amount of tests for all athletes. So we are planning, we'll have enough tests to baseline 500 athletes, which is more than what Nokomis and Hillsborough have, and so we're going to do all boys and girls of all levels from junior high to high school.
And that's all sports?
All sports, yes. Including cheerleading, we're going to involve the cheerleaders as well. But yes, all sports will have that. And because some of the sports such as tennis where they probably will not ever incur something, but we have it. So, and there's so many multi-sport athletes that we're going to catch them all. And they won't take it every single sport. It will just be one time a year. So if they are a football athlete, if they're a volleyball athlete, but later they play a spring sport, they won't have to take that test again. It's just that one time every other year that they'll take their baseline.
And that's very important to establish that you've got the norm.
Yes.
And now you know what to look for.
Yes, and it's based on age, so that's why it's important, because obviously our brains change as we age. So it's important to start when they're in seventh grade, and by the time they're a junior in high school, their numbers and their maturity of their brain and different things is going to be totally different. So every other year is an important way to catch it, to where you can catch those growth of their brain going on.
That's such a fascinating thing. A lot of research had to go into putting this program together. This is not something that they threw together in about a week, probably. This has been several years in the making.
Yes, this is a globally used tool that is actually not just new for high schools. It's been used internationally. They use it at Olympic levels. They use it with NFL sports. The Army and the Navy use it. They actually use it with the Cirque du Soleil. But it's been something that's been used all throughout for lots of years. They established, I believe, in 2006 is when it's gotten really big, and it's been going on, and they've been changing different things. It's truly just an online test. So once we purchase the test, which will be happening soon because they want us to wait as long as we can because the test is only good for 1 year. So they'll get it every other year. But the next year when I have new athletes, we'll have to repurchase it to just justify those athletes. But so they'll take it throughout that time, and then we'll be able to get more for the following years.
We're going to talk more about impact, but I'm going to throw a question at you here.
Okay.
Concerning the Illinois High School Association and the IESA, which is the Junior High Association, and even the state of Illinois, there's been so much news lately about this sort of stuff that all three of these entities have stepped in. And whether they made laws or have set protocols, they know how important it is to take care of their student athletes. And it's something that I think they should be applauded for.
Yes.
Because not everybody gives a darn.
Right.
like these organizations. I mean, and a lot of times we critique you know, obviously the General Assembly, and the High School Association, the IESA. Some, you know, it's a big job for them to do what they do. But I think they're really taking a huge step forward in trying to ensure the safety of their student athletes.
Yes. There used to be, or a while ago in 2008, I believe is when it started, there was a bill that said that, the schools needed to have some kind of legislation of what they were going to do, protocols and such, and then it turned into a law. And now, this year, it states, the law states that an athletic trainer or a physician is allowed to return an athlete to play after they've sustained a concussion. But each school, from the IHSA associations and IESA, they both have to have a return to play and a return to learn protocol. They have to have a policy in place. So this part, this tool is just helping us establish that policy more. So what will happen is I will obviously determine if they've had a concussion. The schools will, along with me and teachers, nurses, that kind of thing, will determine how, what the status of the kid is, how they will have to do things at school, and then how things will happen when they go return back to play. And so that's just the big picture of it. But yes, they have to have a plan of what, how they're going to handle concussion situations for these athletes.
And I guess, Melissa, you guys keep track, I would assume, of the number of concussions that are incurred over the course of time. So I guess there'll be an ability in future years to kind of go back and track to see if these studies and things have actually caused the decline?
Yes, I'm very certain of that. Yeah, we keep track of how many kids they get a concussion. Oftentimes I'm asked as an athletic trainer to become a part of surveys and such. Last year I ran
a
company.
Oh, I bet you filled out 100 of them, didn't you?
Yeah, I did get paid to do one of them, so they gave me $100 to make sure that I was paying attention. So, but yeah, it's just going to help us determine if this is actually the education and knowing what we're doing is helping us keep these athletes safe.
Melissa Van Giesen is our guest here on Sports Saturday, and we've been talking about the impact concussion management model, and there's actually a few steps here, and I want Melissa to go through these here when we come back. We're going to need to take a break, though, take care of a little business. Sports Saturday rolls on in just a moment.
We go back now to Studio A, WSMI's Terry Tote and Melissa Van Giesen.
Thanks, Tim Mize, and don't forget Cardinals baseball coming up 5:20 this afternoon, Cards and Marlins on AM 1540 and the new FM 106.9. We're talking about the impact concussion management model. The Melissa Van Giesen, this is a tool that you are able to use to help in diagnosing and getting a baseline, getting an actual scientific reading on where a student athlete stands as far as the level of concussion, the level of I don't know, maybe damage is not the word to use, but certainly the athlete has been affected. And you've got a management model here. And I think if you would take the time to go through this, I think people would understand this and be glad to hear about it. So.
Yes. The impact, the way that they think that it's important for us to manage doing this, obviously as many things that I've already been doing, this is just another tool that I'm going to, it's going to help me have more of a black and white answer versus a gray answer as we've done in the past. So.
And you've had to deal with gray areas going, well, yeah, it's kind of close to maybe a concussion, but you're not really sure. This might help
and
define
it. A lot of times I can tell when there's a concussion. It's very obvious. It's the return to play and return to learn part of it that makes it more challenging when you're not really sure what's going on inside their brain. You can see their symptoms. You can test their balance. You can do all these things, but actually seeing what's neurocognitively going on, you can't see that. So this tool is going to be able to help me with
and
that.
And you mentioned not only return to play, but return to study.
Yes.
Return to the classroom. You know, we forget about that. If you're impaired, your learning ability is impaired dramatically.
Yes. So. Return to learn is almost more challenging than the return to play thing. I can always judge and know, and it's simple with the return to play, but the return to learn, your brains are being more stimulated when you're learning because you have to focus on those things. So, that's kind of where it's the education to everyone, including the teachers and administrators of how we don't want to put these kids in closets and make them not do anything, but we want them to continue to do what they're doing. It just might have to be some kind of accommodation. So they might have to, instead of taking a test on the computer, they might have to read it on a piece of paper, because obviously doing more stimulation with a computer and affecting your eyes is going to make it more challenging. So, if they are sensitive to light, if they can wear sunglasses at school, if they can have more time to take a test than the other kids. So just different situations where obviously once we know their status and their situation will be able to say, this is what's affected, this is what they probably need and why. So this tool is going to give us that answer, and it won't be the kid saying, yeah, I got a headache, but he really doesn't have a headache, yeah, and he just wants to have some kind of time at school to cheat. So this will help me not have those things.
Kids don't do that, do they?
No, never.
Never. Well, talk to us about this management model.
Yes. Basically what's happened is we're going to have a preseason baseline testing and education. So starting the last week of July, I'm going to be doing the Topper football team first. Just so we don't have to interrupt any of their other practice times and things like that. And then once volleyball and soccer begin, we will start those at the middle of August. And then once each sport comes along, we will be doing Nokomis during their first week of football. But that's when all this happens. So we have already started the education process of reaching out to the staff at each school. The parents will have letters with a permission slip allowing me to actually perform this test, because we need that permission from them to do that, which I don't think any parent will be resistant to let me do it. And then just educating the athlete about how important it is. Then they will take their test in that baseline beginning session. And then after that happens, if we see a concussion that happens on the sideline, or if I hear sometimes, unfortunately, because I work all of the Hillsborough football games, but I'm not at every single sport. So there are situations where a soccer player, something happens, and I get a call from the coach the next day, say, this kid happened last night. Can you come look at him? How we need to determine when they can come back to play. So that is when I will use my tools and this. This will be the easy part for me, is to see the kid, the concussion happen. But if I don't get to see the kid when it happens, and I'm not sure his situation, what it was, and how he's better now, or she, this tool is going to help me determine that answer. So that's what I'm most excited about, because I don't get to be at every single situation. So they will take this test along with my other assessments. And then the athlete will be supervised for about 24 to 72 hours to see if they need to have another test or determine that what's going on with them. We will reach out to their physician, because I need to have that communication with the doctor to say that it's, even though an athletic trainer is allowed to, our policy is we still want the physician to say that it's okay. So a lot of times they say, yep, they have a concussion, just let Melissa determine, because she knows what she's talking about, and we'll go that way. So that does happen often. And then we sometimes, the biggest thing for this post-injury situation is if they need to have some kind of treatment. So not just rest, but even if they have some type of vestibular problem, which is the way that their balance is affected, if they need to have physical therapy, or if they're having some type of academic issue where all of their physical symptoms are okay, but they need to have help from the school psychologist because their emotions are all out of whack, and they can do things functionally with their physical bodies, but they're just down in the dumps a lot, and the concussions can cause a depression, and they can, it's just the way it's affected inside of your brain. There's nothing that the kid is doing. It's just the way that the concussion affected them. And then we will begin, once all of those, they become, start to become, the step four of this concussion model is, returning to learn and returning back to playing. So we'll make sure that they're always symptom free, that their post-injury test has went back to their normal baseline range, that everything of their evaluations are good to go. So then we make sure that it's time to do this. And so we determine that return to play safety situation. So, and that's when we, as long as they're 24 hours, everything's okay, then we add little bits here and there. They can start running, and then a little bit of light contact where they're not full contact with someone, but they can kind of do some individual type drills. And then they start doing contact in a practice, and that's when they're good all there. Then they go into the full game. So.
Well, so do kids that are playing JFL, do they have to go through these types of protocols?
Right now, because JFL is not associated with the school, we won't be doing testing on them. But a lot of those kids that, at the higher, when they're in 6th and 7th and 8th grade, we will be testing them, not necessarily for football specifically, but if they play basketball or any sport associated with the junior high, then they will get these tests. So because the JFL is not associated with the schools, then we won't be testing them right now.
My thought was, if a kid did sustain a concussion in JFL, would that would then theoretically affect his baseline test when he took it a few years later, right?
Correct, but maybe not either. If their symptoms are back to normal and they're symptom-free and they're doing the right thing, then no, it shouldn't affect their baseline test necessarily. But if a kid on a JFL team does sustain a concussion and a parent is worried, they can always reach out to me and we can determine what their situation is and what they need to do. And there may be an opportunity where they can take a test or we can figure out a situation that needs to happen there as well.
Are there students that are more susceptible to suffering concussions time and time again? Maybe one student athlete maybe gets a concussion once, but another student athlete gets repeated concussions. Is that a possibility? Is that a likelihood?
It is a likelihood because obviously all of us are different. We're all different human beings. But at the same time, if you've sustained a concussion once, the chances of you getting another one is pretty high because your brain is already slightly affected. And it's just – and some people are just concussion friendly.
Prone.
I know. Yeah, it's just unfortunate.
Like sprained ankles and knees and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And the concussion thing is another thing. And we hear a lot about football. With the impacts and the collision, in soccer though, and they talk about heading the ball, but to me, I think a lot of the problem in soccer is, two people going up for the ball and heads knocking each other.
Correct.
And people don't even think about that, but that's where I think a lot of the concussion problems come from in soccer.
Yes. I've had, just this last school year alone, I had a volleyball player that she fell on the ground and didn't hit her head. It was just that impact of her shoulder and kind of her symptoms and the way that she was acting seemed to be pretty fine, but her having to go back to school, she was in some pretty challenging classes, and she struggled for about 2 weeks to be symptom-free and not be able to do things. So, and it was because we were controlling her athlete environment, but she was still needing to go to school, and so we weren't certain where it was, what exactly it was affecting. And so using this tool, we're going to be able to help situations like that, so hopefully they don't have those issues. And then with the soccer, I had a soccer athlete that did that same thing. He was in a rec postseason type league, and he went up to head a ball, and he's a defender, and he started having issues, and then again started to feel good, wasn't having any issues at all, but just any type of extra activity was a big deal for him. But he was a defender, so all what he wanted to do was use his head. And so it was really hard for me and his mom and his coach. All three of us had to kind of powwow on him and say, listen, you cannot do that anymore. You have to stop. And it was hard because he's a good kid and wants to play hard, but all what he knows how to do is when a ball's coming out of his head is to use it. So it's challenging to make them understand how important it's not, shouldn't be doing those
things.
And once
a student athlete recovers from a concussion and they are ready, they are okay to go back to play, is there any follow-up, say a couple weeks down the line, that you do on a regular basis? Or perhaps maybe mom and dad say, hey, maybe we ought to run another test again.
It shouldn't, as long as they're not having any symptoms, they should be completely symptom-free when they go back. We shouldn't have to do post things other than me being around and popping in and saying, hey, you still doing okay? Which happens a lot. I try to keep my tab on them because they like to hide things, and they see me and
well,
they get
those
big eyes.
Well, you being a mom, you're kind of wise to that sort of stuff,
yeah.
Right?
Yes, yes. There's been many situations where the kids have no idea that I'm watching, and I'm kind of that snake in the grass, and they're like, oh, she sees what's happening, and yeah. They don't think that I'm there, but I am there in too many ways, so.
Do parents come up to you, Melissa, from time to time and say, hey, this happened to Johnny? Could this be a concussion?
Yes. Because I've been trying to educate so much, they are being more aware of it, and it just, my kid doesn't seem quite right, and he's not acting himself, and it's because I can't be there all the time that I do get those situations, and thankfully my education to them is helping them see how important it is that their kid is not right, and we need to try to fix this before something worse happens.
And you mentioned physical therapy, rehab therapy. What sort of things would that involve? Like balance and
yes, with vestibular rehab, it works a lot on your coordination with your eyes and your balance. Sometimes you just need to sometimes vestibular rehab, it sounds silly, but it's almost like your eye coordination with your brain, almost like you jostle your brain back around to do the correct thing by making your eyes focus on the right thing. So that may not be always a balance type thing where they work on eye focus with an object, and they need to make sure that they can follow those things. And once they can do that and their eyes don't have any problems, then they would work on more upright balance type things. So it's kind of progression of different situations. And this will be nice because we'll be able to tell from this tool that they need the vestibular rehab, or that they need, that they're fine with their balance and the way that it's affected with their vestibular readings, but, maybe their psychological situations aren't so good. So we might have to reach out in those types of situations.
Plus just talking to them.
Yes.
Probably is a big factor in determining, well, maybe there's a problem here.
Yes. Yes. Getting to know the kids by being around so much, and even the coaches oftentimes are like, that kid just doesn't seem quite right. So can you go talk to him and see what's going on? And they like to try to hide, and they know, but a lot of times you can't hide it. You can see it, and you can tell that something's wrong. But
well, again, I'm glad adults have never done anything like that.
No way. No way. But this tool is going to help me be able to determine, yep, they sure do, and we're going to be able to see, you were trying to hide it, but obviously your score is a lot different and there's something going on. So let's just try to take care of it now. Why fight it?
Can you stick around for a few more minutes, Melissa?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Melissa Van Giesen from Hillsborough Area Hospital, athletic trainer. We're talking about concussions, how to recover from them, how to keep an eye on the kids, and all that sort of information. We're going to come back with more on Sports Saturday right after this.
Back now to T. Tote and Melissa Van Giesen.
The number of student athletes who, especially in the schools around here, you know, a lot of them play multiple sports. And I think participation nationwide is extremely high for extracurricular activities. So this is a very important aspect of it. But, Melissa, in educating people and educating coaches, educating parents, probably the biggest problem you have is convincing the kids, right?
Yes.
That okay, look, I know what I'm doing here. You're going to have to trust me. You don't have to run to the doctor first. Let me take care of it. You know, I'm trained. Let's see what we've got here. And convincing the kids probably that we're under control here is probably the toughest job you have.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of times I try and educate all athletes at all levels and at all sports and say that I'm there for them, and you may not see me all the time, but reach out to your coach. Your coach has my number. Let me help take care of you. If you go see the doctor trumps athletic trainer. So if you go see the doctor, you're probably going to be out no matter what for a week or more. A lot of times if you let me help you take care of your injury or your concussion or any of your situations, I can help prevent those things. It might be a couple of days. I can give you quick injury prevention type things to do. I can give you an exercise to try, any of those kind of things. And it helps you get better quicker because there are kids and kids recover very, very quickly. So as long as they reach out to me and don't run to the doctor first, I'm there for them, their parents. I'm free to them. So it's a service that the hospital pays me to go to the schools, and the school doesn't pay for us. It's our community service to them.
As a professional, is this a good thing, the way these laws have progressed and this protocol has progressed from the high school association and the junior high association? Is this good?
Yes, yes. For liability purposes, for all of us, it's a very good thing, because what we don't want to have happen is that a kid ignores those concussion symptoms. He goes back in the game, and then two plays later, he dies because he has something going on inside of his brain and we didn't even realize it, and he gets second impact syndrome. So yeah, it's a protector, and it's nice because the officials, the coaches, everyone knows that there is a rule and a law now that they have to abide by it. And a lot of times those officials can see when those kids aren't acting. They're out there the entire game, especially in football, where they can tell they're starting to just walk around funny. And sometimes on those hot Friday nights, their fatigue may be more of a legit fatigue thing, but they might say, that kid's still acting funny. Will you just check them out, make sure? So, and they know I'm there. So,
yeah, just kind of the reassurance of being on the sidelines there, I think, means a lot.
Yeah.
And again, this, you're going to be involved with educating Hillsborough and Nokomis student athletes and parents and all that sort of thing. If anybody has any questions, they can always reach you at the hospital. Correct?
Yes, yes. I work at Teamwork Rehab, and I work at the Hillsborough High School, obviously, and then we have another athletic trainer that goes, and he's there for football games. He's not always there during the winter and spring sports as much because he doesn't need to be there as often, so I'm able to be reached out to. But yeah, reaching out to us at Teamwork Rehab inside of the hospital is where I'm located.
Now, you deal with a lot of athletes, student athletes, but do you deal with people, adults, who sometimes fall and maybe suffer a concussion?
Yes. There's running groups anymore, and there's other types of extracurricular, we call them the weekend warrior type people, I guess, that think that they're still a young at heart athlete, and they're not. But there's many times where people reach out and say, hey, this is going on. Can you help me out? And absolutely. Absolutely.
And are they able to take advantage of this impact type study? Or?
It is for schools. Unfortunately, it's just for the school. The program that we will be purchasing is just for the school level. So we will not be able to reach out to the community, just the general population of the community. But I can absolutely encourage and tell them what they should do and how this is affecting. And so.
And if there's any further questions, they could always go see their family doctor.
Oh,
correct?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And they, all the doctors have been very curious about this because many of them weren't certain what impact was, so they're anxious to know that they have this tool now to help them make that decision as well. So
good Lord, the amount of information that comes out anymore, because a lot of this stuff you get not only monthly updates but weekly updates on new information and new techniques and this sort of thing, and that, you know, by itself keeps you busy.
Yes.
I mean, you've got a busy enough life, Melissa. And here you get, you continue to, you know, this is not one thing where you pass your degree, get your degree, and you're done. I mean, this is a continuing, ongoing bit of education.
Correct. As an athletic trainer, you have to continue to maintain your certification and license. You have to continue to get education. And so, concussions were something obviously I learned about, but there's been new different things that have been added to it throughout my career so far. So it's been helpful to make me a better professional, which is nice.
Do kids come back and say, hey, Melissa, thank you for helping me?
Yes, actually they do. They see the appreciative side of that I am there for them. I'm not trying to keep them out of play. I want them to play. That's why I'm there. I'm there to take care of athletes. I'm not there to reprimand athletes to keep them out of play. So, yes, they are very appreciative in the end.
Coaches will discipline. You're going to keep them healthy.
Yes.
There you go.
You know, when we get 30 years removed from these types of studies and we get all this information, I feel like we're going to look back at the time, and it's going to be like hockey goalies not wearing face masks.
Yeah.
Like, what were they doing?
Yes.
Hurting a lot. Yes. Getting cut a lot. Yes. Yeah. It's so, Melissa, thank you for spending some time with us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Very interesting, and we're going to obviously make this program available on the website as a podcast, and if anybody wants to go back and listen to it and find out more about it or get up to speed on it, we certainly encourage them to do so. But and you've been coming here for several years talking to us about hydration and everything, and in about the 5 minutes we've got left, let's talk a little bit about that. Now that it's summertime, the heat, the humidity, athletes that are, and even, you know, adults that are out there in the golf league and everything, you need to stay hydrated. You need to make sure to eat the proper things because your body can basically dwindle under the heat.
Yes, correct. And a lot of times what I like to tell people is that you think it's hot out there, and it is, but accommodating your body to it, especially for these athletes that are playing in these fall sports where it gets really hot out, don't just jump out there and think that I'm all good. But that's the nice thing about the fall sports is that they've been preparing all summer, and so the kids are getting used to it. But for those adults that, wow, I'm going out there just to do whatever and it's okay, but it's not. Make sure you take breaks, drink, get in the shade. Don't just gung-ho it and stay in the sun and in the humidity the whole time.
It's a different type of adult hydration for the golf league.
Yes. Right?
Let's be honest.
Yes.
Not much water being consumed.
Yeah, but water is the important part of it.
Yes.
You know, a lot of times the other stuff works against you, so.
Yes, it's a dehydrator, Tim.
It does. And you know, just the impact of the humidity, which a lot of us, you know, most of us spend our lives in air-conditioned work venues and stuff like that. And, you know, it's just zaps you when you walk outdoors and you try to participate in an activity. The humidity sometimes just gets you.
Yes, yeah. It's just like training for a marathon. You don't just go out and run for the marathon. You got to prepare for it. So building yourself up to being able to accommodate to those outside conditions is what you need to do, and slow little bits at a time, and then making sure that you're taking care of yourself when you're out there.
What about sports drinks? And I've heard a lot of different discussions about sports drinks. Some are good, some are not so good, some are, you know, still contain too much sugar, that sort of thing.
Yes. Well,
give us your opinion on it.
Sticking with the Gatorade and Powerades are good. Any of those energy-based drinks that think that has some kind of, those are horrible for you and actually can cause all kinds of medical problems, but,
too much caffeine.
Yes, way too much caffeine, absolutely. But, having Gatorade is fine. Obviously, water is better, but the Gatorade is good for when you are a little bit more dehydrated and not drinking it the entire time, but it does have electrolytes in it, and it helps build up all those things that you've lost while you've been sweating and doing all those different things. So,
what's an electrolyte?
It's basically the inside of everything that you lose when you're sweating and heating, and it's those inner parts of your body that happen when you're so hot that you lose, and then the electrolyte is built back up from drinking that drink. You can add that back inside of there.
And more football specifically, but a lot of times hydration is on everyone's mind and the summer workouts when it's hot and those types of things. But as the season moves along, you get into the fall, the temperatures may drop, but the hydration, it's still just as important.
Yes. A lot of times kids throughout, I really, really dislike week one and week two of football season because I guarantee I will be out on the field, in the middle of the field, taking care of multiple episodes of cramps because kids are so excited to go out and play and they think they're ready. But during school on Friday, they don't hydrate themselves, and then they're dehydrated. So it's really, really important to eat. They're so excited they don't even remember to eat before they play. Eating is important, and drinking throughout the day. You can't just drink 5 minutes before the game starts and think that you're hydrated.
And you got to remember that if you're going to eat to play football, it takes 24 hours for that food to digest and actually be used almost the full 24 hours. So when you eat for a Friday night football game, you're actually eating on Thursday night to prepare yourself for Friday.
Yes, yes. But then there are those times where they're prepared for that, but then an hour before the game, they forget to even eat then.
Yeah.
And you do need that little extra boost of something to have nutrition inside of you. So, and making sure that you're doing it throughout the day. So when you go to school, make sure you're every class hour, fill up your water bottle in between and those kind of things.
I've had doctors and nurses tell me that virtually everybody, doesn't drink enough water.
Correct. Yep. This sounds silly, but knowing the color of your urine is truly the test of it. If your urine is
yellow, you're in trouble.
Yep, you are. Very light in color is what you want it to be. So that is the true test and the true sign of if you're getting enough hydration.
Melissa Van Giesen, it's always a pleasure to have you here, my dear. And,
Thank you.
Hopefully you don't get too busy this year.
Yes.
But it's good to know that you're going to be on hand in case somebody does get into some concussion trouble. And what a great service from the hospital. We congratulate you guys for doing this.
Thank you.
Terrific.